podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast with me, Jack Hope, Max Rowe Brown. How are you doing, Max?
Hello, Jack. Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. And Ross Legg, how are you doing, Ross?
Marvellous, thank you, mate. How are you?
I've just said I'm good.
Nothing has changed in the last 5 seconds.
Talking to Max could do silly things to you.
This week on the Cricket Podcast, we will be looking forward to the third test of the Australia v India series. At the moment, it's poised quite delicately at 1-1, and things should get exciting in Sydney. In addition to that, there has been some cricket taking place elsewhere in the world. New Zealand are taking on Pakistan as we speak and look like they're on the verge of victory. And South Africa have once again overcome Sri Lanka. Then, to wrap things up, we will be talking England. We haven't spoken about England for a little while on the show, and Max has collated all of the England tidbits, as he calls them, for us to talk through on the final third. Before we get into all of that, though, fellas, this week, despite Boris Johnson's inspired leadership in the United Kingdom, we are back into a strict lockdown. So my tangentially cricket-related question on that is, which two cricketers would you choose to spend lockdown with? Max, why don't you go first?
Well, the first cricketer for me, I think, is going to be Chris Gayle, because anyone who allegedly has a nightclub in his house is probably a good laugh. And to go along with that quite nicely, I would bring Alex Hales, as he can supply some extra fun.
Boom boom for Max.
You would die in that scenario. That's too much partying. You couldn't. This is going to go on for 6 weeks. You want 6 weeks of strippers and Alex Hales.
That's got protocol breach written all over it, Max. There are definitely laws being broken there, my friend.
Well, they're not being broken by me. I'm just along for the ride. Absolved.
I've gone a little bit differently. I've gone that I want to protect myself here and also go for well-being. So Mahindra Singh Dhoni, due to his army experience, he's going to fight the virus. Instantly good. And he also likes wearing gloves, isn't he? So that's a good thing. And then Paul Collingwood, who I imagine is a good laugh, will keep you fit. I reckon he loves a beer and he's going to be full of good stories. That's the two I'd go for.
He catches everything, though.
Oh. Jack, let's move on to Max's point.
I think that was a... He has exposed the weakness in your plan there. I think as well, if the world found out, and presumably they would, because Mahindra Singh Dhoni is one of the most famous people in the world, that he was isolating or lockdowning with you, do you not think that the global eye being on your actions would be a little bit stressful over 6 weeks?
No, I reckon it'd be fine, actually. I reckon Mahindra Singh Dhoni likes to put his feet up. Likes to keep a low profile, I reckon. So I'm going to go with that. Max, talking about catching things, there's so many surfaces in your environment that could easily have all kinds of things over them.
And probably some bodily fluids as well.
Oh, my God.
Jack, what about you?
I've gone for what I know and something else. I'll start with the obvious one. Chris Nash would be in my lockdown. We spoke to him on the cricket podcast. I think of the guests that I've spoken to, he's the person I would most like to spend an extended period of time with. He seems to not take himself too seriously. He's quite funny. So he would be number one. And then I thought about people that work well with other people. And obviously you get in cricket, you've got batting partnerships, but you also have bowling partnerships. And so I've gone for one of the two from probably the greatest opening partnership of all time, Kirtley Ambrose. He has now retired from cricket, and I think he seems like a fairly laid-back chap. Also likes his music, can play an instrument, so he'd be able to attend. He'd be able to entertain me and Chris over the next 6 weeks. What do you think of that, fellas?
That's a very sensible and measured answer that you've gone for there, Jack, which is somewhat surprising.
I think that would be quite... I would enjoy 6 weeks with Chris Nash and Curtly Ambrose, in all seriousness. And I think Curtly and I think Chris probably would too.
First name terms already.
Chris does sometimes listen to the podcast. So, Chris, if you are looking for a new housemate, I have a vacancy coming up where I am.
That is true, actually.
do get in touch. Right, Ross, shall we move on with the rest of the podcast after whatever you need to tell our listeners?
Yep, you should follow us on all podcast platforms, leave us a review and we will read it out. And also follow us on our social media sites, which is at The Cricket Pod on both Instagram and Twitter.
Excellent. We'll take a short break and then we'll be right back with Australia v India.
There's 335 to win for India, and then came the near unbelievable part. Sunil Gavaskar batted through 60 overs and made 36 not out. I've never seen anything quite like it in a limited overs game before or since that day. It was almost as though they were having batting practice, either that or playing for a draw. England won the match by 202 runs.
Yeah, so let's kick off with Australia versus India and the tour that keeps on giving. It is 1-1 in the latest test series and the third match kicks off tomorrow. But first, let's play fan favourite game, Where's Rohit? Max, you'll be happy to know that he landed safely in Australia.
Good, good.
He's completed his 14-day quarantine.
Excellent.
On the successful nature of him completing that quarantine, he was named vice-captain of the Indian Test side.
Very good. That's been a good week.
That's a good carrot, isn't it, that? I think if you stay in quarantine for 14 days, you're going to be the vice-captain of your country.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal from India. Well played them. He's then gone out for dinner in Melbourne with the lads, and it's caused all kinds of trouble. He, along with Pant, Gill, Shaw and Saini, have then had to quarantine and return a negative test. So he's still know where he is, which is important. And he's now training again after all of that and is set to play in the third test at the SCG. I want to go straight into the dinner part because we need to assign some blame. And we like to do that on this podcast. First and foremost, who do you think I'm going to blame for this?
Rohit, surely.
Jack, who do you think I'm going to blame?
I think you're going to blame whoever took a photo of them, because really it wasn't that big a deal, was it? I mean, the restaurant was open, they went out, they had dinner, they came home, no one was sick.
That's what this podcast brings. Max following the rules and instantly going to chastise someone, and then Jack going, no, it's the grass, it's the bloody grass. And you're completely right, Jack, it is the super fan as he's being dubbed. Navaldeep Singh is to blame. He took pictures and videos of the lads enjoying a Chinese meal, paid for their bill before they realised, which I found very strange.
Did he?
Posted it up on social media and then claimed that Pant had hugged him, which is a massive protocol breach anywhere from either the 1.5 social distancing as well as the cricket protocols, which he then retracted and said was a lie. This guy is an idiot. He's not a super fan. He's a rat. As far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I retract what I said earlier. I am now firmly in your camp.
Snitches get stitches. Rohit needs to send the boys round.
Exactly that. And I just don't really understand what he tried to get out of this. Because, one, why pick up the bill for, what he said, his superstars? Like, I don't think I'd ever do it. If I saw Ian Bell, Jonathan Trott, Alistair Cook and Strauss just kind of hanging out at a Chinese place, I'm not going to go and pick up their bill. Max, would you do that?
No, I might see if they want to cover mine.
Yeah, they're the rich ones here. Rohit Sharma is the captain. Direction. Is the captain of the team that won the pro rata, or I think the second most well paid pro rata tournament in the world in the IPL.
He's won it five times.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't get more money each time you win it, but I think we can extrapolate from the fact that he's a key player in the best team. In the best paid league in cricket, and yeah, one of the best paid leagues.
He can afford 100 Aussie dollars.
That's like
Chinese.
35 quid.
Yeah.
So this guy, as I said, he's an idiot. He's gloating over picking up that bill, which I think is pathetic. And he's also lying. This guy deserves all the ridicule he possibly can get.
Well, you know he was lying about Pant. Do you reckon he lied about the bill as well?
Well,
because it looks like a pretty small bill for a group of five elite sportsmen.
I mean, it's also a small bill for Rohit Sharma, personally. if we're being perfectly honest, aren't we?
Right, so we've blamed the guy, the super fan. Yep. Are there going to be any implications from this, or is it a storm in a teacup to get us through the new year?
So I think it was just that. I think this guy's got a bit of press. The press are a bit bored. They've jumped on it because they thought there was a big story here. They've since had negative COVID tests, and it's back on. The whole thing is back on. So let's move on from Naval Deep's more kind of moment in the sun and back to the cricket. Sharma is expected to play at the SCG tomorrow. He's not played Test cricket in a year. Or any cricket since the IPL final. So how do you think he's going to get on, lads?
Probably 100 or 50 balls.
The India team say he looks very good in the nets against Bumrah. And I think if you look good in the nets against Bumrah, you can probably do a job for most international teams, can't you?
I mean, well, James Vince looks good in the nets against Anderson. Doesn't mean it's going to go very well.
Does he look good in the nets against Anderson? Is that a documented fact that we have? Because we've got documented facts that Rohit Sharma looks good in the nets against Bumrah.
No slips in the nets.
So I lie, I don't know. I mean, like, probably he'll be all right, won't he? But it's cricket, well, so he might not be.
Yeah, well, so his last few test scores have included scores of 176, 127, 212 from his last six games. That's pretty good.
You could say he's in form.
Yeah, who drops out for Sharma, I think, is the bigger question.
Isn't Rahul injured?
So Rahul, but he didn't play in the first test or the second test. Right. So is it between Agarwal and Gill to play tomorrow?
Yeah, so I believe it's going to be Agarwal, actually, who's had a bit of a tough time opening up, not really hit too many runs. So I think that will be the change that they do. Interestingly, Rohit Sharma's never actually opened in Test cricket away from home. So you might see Vihari open up. I was reading on Crick Info earlier, and Rohit down at kind of five or six, especially as he's not played any cricket. He could have found his hands though. He's been in his hotel room. He could have done a Steve Smith and, I don't know, shadow batted his way into form.
Not much else to do in your hotel room, is there, apart from find your hands?
After Steve Smith found his hands, he's then lost his hands again, though, hasn't he? So,
Ashwin nicked him.
The one-time finding of the hands does not mean that you will be in possession of the hands forever.
Is that a constant life thing? You're always looking for your hands.
Yeah, they're like your keys.
Yeah, that's very good. I think there are still. I mean, this illustrates a little bit why I think there are probably some question marks around this India batting lineup, particularly away from home. The fact that they don't really know the day before, and none of us really know who will drop out, who will bat where, why they'll bat in the places they'll be batting, and whether any of it's going to work. Is that fair?
Yeah, but that's also the beauty of this India team, right? We get a lot of content out of Indian cricket because it is like this. I think that's a really thing that we should celebrate. We still haven't nailed down the team because they need to replace Umesh Yadav as well.
So yeah, he went out.
Choices there.
He was injured in the second test, wasn't he? In the second innings, he bowled a couple of overs, then just sort of walked off with a knee injury, maybe.
Yeah, so he's out for the rest of the tour. So they've got three options there. They've got Saini, who is the quickest of the three, Thacker and Natarajan. So Natarajan has been added to the test squad. What a rise he's had in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I saw he tweeted that on Twitter, a picture of him in his white jersey. Ross, have you got any intel on who will be stepping in to replace Umesh Yadav?
That picture wound me up a little bit, if I'm perfectly honest. I quite like Natarajan. I think he's a great cricketer. But it's like that bit where if you play amateur cricket in any level and someone who's played in, like one of the kids that you play with, like one of the colts who's played for like Northern Knights or a representative side or a Sussex side once or twice, has some kit and then wears it to every single training session afterwards.
What are you suggesting kind of he did? What are you suggesting that he did? That he just wore plain whites or he wore his club shirt?
It's slightly different when you're actually in the Indian national team.
Yeah, this is...
I think if you haven't made your debut, you're exactly the same as everybody else wearing an India test top, if I'm perfectly honest.
I feel like there's got to be a grey area in the middle. That's a binary. You're presenting a binary world, and and we don't live in a binary world, Ross. It's a sliding scale on everything. Sexuality, how close you are to the India team, sliding scale.
How close you are to finding your hands, who knows? But I just think it's jumping the gun a little bit. If he gets named as the player who's going to replace him, then fine, the picture is fine. If he knows something that we don't, it's fine. I just think it's a little bit, tempting fate in the wrong way. But anyway, they're going to pick one of those three. Interesting, I don't think that Thakkar's going to be picked. I think they'll probably go for Saini or Natarajan. But it's quite interesting because Saini is the quickest out of all them, as I mentioned, and Australia have actually a pair of opening batsmen who could both be new to the crease. So David Warner and Will Pukowski, both in line. And the questions that we raised about Rohit's kind of match readiness also apply to these two. If India have some kind of tactic where they want to bounce Will Pukowski to give him his 10th concussion, Saini might be the better option. I don't know. So let's talk about David Warner and Will Pukowski. Dave has been rushed back, as far as I can see. There remains limited movement in his groin, which I found a bit weird to announce
it's
2 days.
Interesting thing to put out there.
It's weird to announce 2 days before a test match that there is limited movement in David Warner's groin, isn't it?
What does Mrs. Warner think about this?
I don't know. We reached out for comment and she just didn't respond. And I think from his stand, he stands at what, 4'8", Dave Warner? 4'9"?
I think that's with his heels on, but let's just round up.
So the front foot lunges for him to get, they're important for Dave Warner. They are important for him to do. So he needs to have more front foot lunges and have better flexibility in his groin. Otherwise, that's going to be a major weakness for him, and the Indian bowlers could well target it. He also hasn't played test cricket in over 12 months.
Really?
I mean, there has been a global pandemic, and England is the only Northern Hemisphere team, or one of the only Northern Hemisphere teams. There aren't that many touring destinations for teams anyway. I don't think it's really that much of a point that he hasn't played. He'll have been in a bubble practicing cricket almost constantly for like 8 months now, since the beginning.
This is the thing, Jack. Nothing replaces time in the middle, as we all know. Is it desperation, or do you think he's ready? Is it all kind of smoke and mirrors from the Australians? They didn't pick him in the second test. Do you think he's going to come back and be the David Warner we all love to hate?
So here's the thing.
He doesn't need to be, does he?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would challenge anyone who says you need time in the middle, because it's not... I just don't see how that can be true. Otherwise, every time any team started like a new series or whatever, they'd all be crap at the beginning, and that's not what happens.
Well, see England, West Indies, see England in Sri Lanka in a couple of weeks. It's going to be like that.
Yeah, but that's different conditions. I mean, at home, Dave Warner has 18 centuries. That's the same as Donald Bradman. There are only two players with more centuries than Dave Warner in Australia. Can you name them quickly, fellas?
Steve Smith?
No. It's Ponting
Matthew
and
Hayden.
Ponting and Hayden. He averages 66 at home. He'll have been practicing, even if he can't run. He had a reasonable IPL. He's played competitive cricket recently enough that I don't think there'll be any issues there. It's not football in that you don't need amazing match conditioning to compete at the highest level if you have the skills, which he clearly does. I think... it's a no-brainer that Warner should come in. Maybe he won't be able to take as many quick singles as he would like to. Maybe they'll have to be a little bit watchful there. But I don't really see it being a problem, to be honest. No. I think it's an absolute no-brainer. I mean, Joe Burns, in world cricket, is one of the worst players at the moment. I mean, he doesn't have the game to play international cricket as things currently stand. Dave Warner, replacing him, is like swapping out one of the world's worst players for maybe the best player in that position for those conditions.
Dave Warner at 40% is still an upgrade.
It's so clear. Yeah, I mean, it's so obviously the thing that they should do, smoke and mirrors or not, and this nonsense about time in the middle or not. It's a hand eye coordination game, and he has nets. He'll be all right.
Fair enough. Pekowski has been cleared by two neurologists. So that's what you want when you're going into a cricket game, that you have two neurologists who come back and give you the old green light. And Justin Langer has come out like any good kind of Don King, the boxing manager, would do, and declared another concussion, which would be his 10th. He's got the evidence that he doesn't have anything to worry about too much long term. So that's good from Dr. Langer, isn't it? If he is drafted in, Wade is probably done enough to move down the order. And that means that Travis Head, who we chastised on the podcast last week, Jack, would drop out. He's also been dubbed a bit of a prodigy, this guy, along with Cameron Green. What are your thoughts on him joining the setup?
I think it's been inevitable for a while that he would get a go. On Langer's point, Dr. Langer, medicos is what he called the doctors. I've never heard anyone called doctors medicos. Medics, yeah. The medical guys, yeah, sure. the medical team, medicos. I'm not sure what I thought about that. Max, you're the wordsmith. What's a medico?
I think it's a made-up word. That's what I'm going with.
Are you excited to see Will Pekowski, Max?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, it's a real shame that he didn't get a chance in the first two games, because I think it's pretty nailed on that he would have been in there ahead of, he would have been in there ahead of Joe Burns in the second test after Joe Burns failed in the first one. And bearing in mind the two double centuries he hit in the first few rounds of the Sheffield Shield. So he's been biding his time with his head in an ice bucket. And hopefully he can come and show everyone what he can do.
Well, we can look forward to that. We've kind of said that in terms of predictions last week, that we'll probably see Australia claim this one. Are you still in that zone, or are you thinking that India could spring a surprise?
I don't really see. I mean, I said this before the second test. I don't really see what India have got that should overly threaten Australia. I mean, obviously, that comes with the caveat that not really any of the Australians are batting very well at the moment. Mm-hmm. In fact, do they have two 50s in the whole series? One by Tim Payne and one by Joe Burns, actually. So he's back in the BBL now, and as I said a minute ago, maybe one of the worst batters in world cricket as things stand, or international cricket as things stand. I don't know. I think the disruption to the Indian bowling team and the batting lineup probably offsets the questions around Australia. I'm still backing Australia here.
Yeah. Well, if you think their bowling lineup is going to have Ashwin, going to have Jadeja and Bumrah, but Siraj has played next to no test cricket, and whoever comes in to replace Yadav has also played next to no test cricket.
I mean, luckily they do have Bumrah and Ashwin backing them up. It's not. Yeah. It's not.
But this is Test cricket. It is India. They're going to have some gun players, aren't they? They're not going to turn up with a bunch of farmers.
But I mean, and the guys who are stepping in, we've seen a lot of them in the IPL. They're not mugs. India will obviously have a chance largely because they have Bumrah, who's the best bowler in the world, and could again. Bowl that Australia team out fairly cheaply, and Ashwin similarly is best spinner in the world, and has he doesn't even really bowl off spin anymore, does he? I saw a stat. Cricviz did it before the series took place, and they questioned how effective Ashwin would be, because off spinners traditionally in Australia, or certainly in the last decade, have really struggled. Lyon obviously has bowled quite well. Swan had one okay tour. Almost every off spinner has averaged over 50. It's been an absolute graveyard. But Ashwin doesn't just bowl off spin, does he? He bowls about eight different types of delivery. So he
at 15 different speeds.
Yeah, exactly. He's found something that works for him, and it mainly seems to be just bowling at the stumps. Like really quite straight. It's almost similar to a T20 line in that you're kind of expecting the batsman to play, and the trick is to sneak a variation past them, as you say, Max, with one of the 15 speeds or three different types of spin.
I think India must have been watching a bit of I Don't Like Cricket Club as well, with the snaffles down the leg side.
Yeah, leg gully, leg slip.
Yeah.
Beautiful things to see. And I think it also helps that Ashwin kind of has the wood over Steve Smith a little bit. He always seems to get him out.
And
always.
I think Warner as well. I think he's bowled well against Warner in the past.
So, Max, where do you sit? Typically on the fence, you're going for a draw?
Oh, I think Australia will win, because I think ultimately Australia's team is being strengthened and India's arguably slightly weaker.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, before we move on, there has been a bit more drama on the tour with rumours that the Indian players would boycott the final test in Brisbane. And this is due to them going to have to be in strict quarantine around their hotel, which I assume they were in anyway, but it's been a bit more lax than this one. No more Chinese food for Rohit. But the Aussie and India, and I go for a Justin Langer thing here, cricklomats instead of diplomats, saying it's made up and it's a storm in a teacup and it should all be okay.
Well, they just spent like 2.5 months in the UAE in a lockdown, so...
There's a conspiracy theory, isn't there, that it's India... trying to avoid playing at the Gabba, where they always lose.
Everyone always loses there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there is a conspiracy theory going around that that's actually what's happening.
You want to be careful with what you read, Jack.
Have you got any
There's
sources
a few conspiracy
on that?
Theories around at the moment. And I wouldn't pay any attention to them.
Well, if there's not anything else, lads, I've said lads about 50 times so far on this podcast, so apologies. Shall we move on to the next set of test matches?
Just a couple of things. Nathan Lyon telling the Indians to get on with it, basically, was classic Nathan Lyon. And we should highlight that because that's important. That's what we do. Also, the crowd's been cut, hasn't it, at the SCG?
Yes.
So it was going to be 50%, it's now going to be 25%. And I think that the mayor of Sydney or something like that has threatened to fine people from certain districts if they turn up.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, it's still mad that they're still going to put 25% of the capacity in the stadium, especially when there's been apparent outbreak in Sydney. So, yeah, we don't make the rules, eh, Max?
No, we just follow them to the letter.
Right, let's have a quick break and then we'll come back with New Zealand versus Pakistan.
We love hearing from our listeners, so please follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you have a great story, like Scotty G did, about The Hayden Way, Matthew Hayden's personal website, we want to hear about it. So from wherever you're from, send us in a great story and we'll read out on the show. Email us on thecricketpod@gmail.com. Thank you very much.
So should we talk about the cricket which actually is taking place, boys?
Yep, let's do it.
Where would you like to go first? We're in lockdown. Why don't we do some magical thinking? Is it Jose Mourinho who said magical thinking? Some football manager. I like it. It's a good phrase, magical thinking. We're going to do some magical thinking now, and we're going to go on holiday to either New Zealand or South Africa. Where would you like to go first, Max?
I've always wanted to go to New Zealand. Let's go there.
Okay, New Zealand. Well, in New Zealand at the moment, the New Zealand cricket team are taking on the Pakistani cricket team. So we would like to have podcast once this game is over, officially. But I think we can talk about it like it's over, in air quotes, unofficially. Because it is over. This game is dead. It's taking place, the last rites of the match will be taking place at Christchurch's Hagley Oval. Have you caught any of this, boys? On about 10 o'clock, the first session in the UK.
All I've seen is a highlights package of Kane Williamson being Kane Williamson.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the first observation then, because when you watch it live, the New Zealand commentators, they say Hagley a lot, but it sounds in their kind of accent a bit like Hadley, and so for about ever, I thought this was a ground named after Richard Hadley, and it's only researching this particular match that I found out it's not Hagley. I don't know who Hagley is or where it is or what it is, but it's the Hagley Oval. So that's fact one sorted. The tale of the scorecard for the actual cricket so far. Pakistan had a reasonable, if not particularly awesome, first knock and managed to post 297 on day one. Thanks largely to Azhar Ali getting a 90-odd, which was a good innings. It wasn't an easy pitch on day one. In reply, New Zealand did what they've done to everybody at home recently, and they have batted Pakistan out of the game over the course of day two and three. Kane Williamson has notched another double ton, his fourth. Henry Nichols, 150, and Daryl Mitchell only managed a century. But a pretty good performance from, I think, the New Zealand number seven.
Yep.
As we talk, Pakistan are 8-4-1 with a couple of days left in the game and a 354-run deficit to overcome. First point that we should talk about. Let's get the Kane Williamson sized elephant in the room out of the room. Is that what you do with an elephant in the room? Is that why you address it, to get it out? Or do you just
It's difficult to get it through the door. I think you just sort of paint it as the same colour as the walls so you can't see it anymore.
Is that how you get a white elephant?
Yeah.
That isn't true. I'll tell you why you get a white elephant later, but let's do Kane Williamson. Kane Williamson, he's pretty good, isn't he, Max?
He is exceptional.
Do you base your appearance on what Kane Williamson looks like, Max?
I wish. I just we're locked down again, so what's the point in shaving?
I thought it was like an homage to Kane Williamson.
No, I do that with my batting.
Ah, nice. Very well played. Talk about Kane Williamson, Jack. Give me some numbers.
You two are the ones that have watched the whole highlight package. In Kane Williamson terms, how would you rate this particular innings?
It is, you know when Steve Smith batted against England and looked like England could bowl forever at him and we'd never get him out?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Kane Williamson looks like right now. He is hitting the ball all over the place. He is hitting it along the floor, and he's just not giving nearly any chances away until he's
apart
too
from the
knackered.
Three drops.
Well, yeah. We'll get on to that in a sec. Williamson, is he the best in the world?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is in... Okay, well, that was easy, wasn't he? Why is he the best?
statistically speaking, Jack, he is the best in the world.
His average is 66 now.
At the moment, he's batting the best in the world. Like Steve Smith's been tied in knots by Ravi Ashwin, and Virat Kohli's being a dad. So, step up Kane.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that's what he has addressed. You just triggered something in my mind there, Ross, when you mentioned Max's appearance. Second point from this game, and I really should have made notes on this. Are New Zealand, although they're the best cricket team in the world at the moment, are they the ugliest cricket team in the world? I'm talking visually here.
Well, of all their players.
Their players out of 10 and all the other cricketers in the world out of 10, and then you did like an average, I think... Yeah, New Zealand probably come in at like a 4.
It's a bit harsh that you teed this up, that Max's appearance triggered something
in
your head.
That's what triggered it. Then... Kane Williamson's probably the best looking guy in the team, to be honest.
And he looks like he should play a character in Lord of the Rings. So
he does, doesn't he? I think more The Hobbit. But again, that squares with me, doesn't it? So we'll move on swiftly.
I don't know. I'm not one to sit and call someone or say something about someone that they have no impact over, really, do they? So
beauty's in the eye of the beholder, Jack.
Okay, fair enough. So
no one is sitting there though going, "Oh, I wish I looked like Trent Bolt." Like, no one is saying that.
Well, I'm on record. I think New Zealand are the least attractive cricket team in the world. Have you seen the guy they've unearthed? So I mean, they have been helped enormously in this match by Kyle Jameson, who might actually be the next best fast bowler in the world.
He is so good.
I don't think that's too much of an exaggeration. Like, he's probably not Bumrah.
He is a different type of bowler, not in terms of that, but he's a guy who stands at 6'8". He's like Tremlett, but faster. And better.
Yeah, and he's also he's a really good batsman.
Well, he's really good at hitting things.
Yeah.
He's just a huge unit. I think if you're going to build the perfect fast bowler, it would be quite close to him, I think. You know, he's 6'8". He bowls about 140 kilometres an hour. So he's not express, but he's quick enough. He can move the ball. He's able to get the ball to move off the surface, and he can swing it a little bit as well. He is built like a tank and can bowl all day. He has a deadly bouncer, a good Yorker, and is able to hit a length. And because of his height, every edge carries. Like, you never see one fall sharp because he's so large that I mean, that was one of the things from the Williamson innings, was that Williamson did actually edge the ball quite a few times, but because of his soft hands and because Pakistan weren't getting that much bounce, the ball's falling short of the gully and slips. Doesn't happen with Cole Jameson. He's so big that it doesn't matter how far back the slips are, how slow the wicket is, the edge will carry.
So I must have watched a highlights package that was edited by Kane Williamson himself, because like when you hit runs, you never talk about, oh, I was dropped four times. You never talk about that to your friends, do you? You're always in that bit, yep, hit a chance, there's 50 boys, it was absolutely beautiful. Must have seen that.
I absolutely love it. One of the other things about Jameson, sometimes you get tall guys in cricket who don't bowl like tall guys. Does that make sense?
Sulemani Ben, case in point.
Well, yeah, or I mean, I think the English example is Stuart Broad, who, because of the bend in his knee and the way he leans over and stuff, even though he's like 6 foot four or something like that, actually releases the ball from about the same height as Kemar Roach, who's like 5 foot ten or something like that. So he's not using his full height. Kyle Jameson, I was watching a side on replay of his bouncer to Fawad Alam, which will be the best ball of the year. Like, there's no one is going to bowl a better ball than Jameson's ball to dismiss Fawad Alam. It's the scariest thing I've ever seen. But that side on, he must release the ball from 7.5 foot high, maybe more. And then it comes in nearly 90 miles an hour and causes lots of damage. We should probably stop talking about him now. But anyone want to mention anything else about Kyle Jameson?
I was just going to say, it's quite interesting that they're adopting that tactic. Like, England have been trying to find that replacement for Chris Tremlett. Like, Chris Tremlett down under was a force to be reckoned with. He was really, really important when England won the Ashes in Australia and bowled really well.
Got Steve Smith 4 or 5 times, I think.
Yeah, like it was a really good asset to have. It gives you something a little bit different. England obviously trying it with the Overton twins, but unfortunately they are farmer cricketers. So it's a bit difficult to kind of get what you need out of them. And they're not quite at the heady heights of Jameson. But it's good to see it working. And again, did he come in for, or did Matt Henry come in for Neil Wagner?
So Matt Henry came in for Neil Wagner.
Yeah. But Jameson got into the team against India at the start of last year. I think because Matt Henry got injured or someone got injured, Kyle Jameson came in and was just really good. So they were like, well, you can carry on playing then, can't you?
He is excellent. Should we quickly talk about Pakistan's drops? After day one, Azhar Ali, after he scored 93, he said, I think on that wicket, we're in a good position. And they might have been, but they dropped, I think, 7 catches and had another one fly between 2 slip fielders. The keeper dropped 2. Azhar Ali dropped 2. Shan Masood, I think, dropped 2. All of them in the slips or keeper area. Pakistan, believe it or not, have been the best slip-catching team in the world for the last 2 years. Not a great time for that to fall apart. Anyone got any advice?
not advice, but that is just classic Pakistan. And it's okay, right? It's okay that we've always talked about the kind of lottery that you get. They're going to go out and do the toying cost. They'll be like, sorry, lads, we're not taking any catches this innings.
4 of the Pakistani bowlers also managed centuries, which is actually more centuries than the New Zealand batsmen.
Yeah, you want your spinner to hold up an end, don't you?
Yeah.
Not go for 0 for 160.
Shan Masood, we should spare a particular thought for him. He spent 2 weeks in quarantine, travelled halfway around the world to score 10, 0, 0, 0, drop a bunch of catches and review the most.
You mean 10,000? He scored 10,000.
And then review the most out LBW of all time.
He did also bowl 2 overs, which went for 17.
Notice
so he's minus 7
for the tour. That's not a great job as an opening batsman, particularly in New Zealand, because New Zealand, it can be a little bit tricky up front, but those pitches do flatten out, and they're I mean, New Zealand teams in general, I think Bangladesh got about 600 last year. It's possible to pile on the runs there. Getting 10 across four innings, not a great effort from Shan. Pakistan, 354 behind with 2 days to play and 9 wickets in hand. Ross, can they get back into the game?
Well, I think if Rizwan and Fawad Alam get to the crease and they just bat out 650 balls, I think that plan will be absolutely perfect.
Well, that's only one of the 2 days. would anyone else like to say, before we move on to South Africa v Sri Lanka, would anyone else like to say anything about this New Zealand team? Because they are pretty special. I don't think we see them in action for a little while after this as well.
I think with New Zealand, they've sort of, it would be ridiculous to say they've come from nowhere, but they sort of very quietly go about their business, and we're suddenly looking at them as about to move to top of the test rankings. And the thing with the current New Zealand side is that we've known for quite a long time that their bowling unit is top. Like, Bolt, Southee, Wagner, and now they've got Jameson. Like, they've been class for a while. And then you sort of look at the batting and maybe a couple of holes in the middle order. If you look at the batting now, I mean, it's a little bit skewed because a couple of them have only played a handful of games. But from number one to number eight, the lowest average is BJ Watling at 38.4, and the rest all average over 40.
Jesus.
I mean, that's a team. That is a solid team.
So I think you're completely right on that, Max. And there's a bit for me now where I sit there going, when we research the podcast, I find that you're sitting there, and when you're looking for India, you're on Indian websites. When it comes to New Zealand, you're again looking at Kiwi websites. It's difficult for the media in this country to actually cover some of this cricket. You don't see good write-ups on the BBC. And yet at the moment, quite a lot of media people, unfortunately because of COVID, are kind of sitting out of work. You'd kind of hope that they would cover these kind of games in a bit more detail and have a bit more written up about them than what is only on kind of Cricket Info.
I did think that as well. I think The Guardian, who usually cover cricket reasonably well, didn't have a match report at all for the first game, which was a great test match as well. It went down to the last half an hour of day five.
Yeah.
It had a Fawad Alam century, which is a great story. It had a bunch of New Zealand runs, Kyle Jameson doing Jameson things. Anyway, should we do the other test match and then we'll take a break?
Sounds good.
So we're not going to spend too long on this because it wasn't a very good match. I think I said, for people who follow football, I think this was the Crystal Palace 1, Burnley 0 of international cricket. A heavily depleted Sri Lanka team were completely dismantled by South Africa again. Stars of the show, Henrik Nokia, 8 wickets for the match, not too bad for the big man. And Dean Elgar managed to score a century and a not out in the second innings as well. So pretty good day for him. Based on what I've seen from Sri Lanka over these two test matches, I don't think there's much reason for England to fear them, is there?
I think when you're always playing in your own backyard, you do have some kind of advantage. And I think England do have that propensity to start quite slowly. And it's England, anything can happen. But I think you're right, it depends on how quickly some of their players recover from those injuries. It was good to see Karuna Ratne back in the runs, though, opening up, as it must be pretty difficult to be a skipper when you go on tours like that, or you play South Africa like that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a thankless task, isn't it? Did you know as well, we'll finish on this point, it's a good one for South Africa. This is the first Test Series win South Africa have achieved since 2018, which is longer ago than the entire history of this podcast. And you wouldn't think it as well, would you? I mean, South Africa...
like a long time.
Yeah, I always think about them as one of the top four test nations, and that's 2 years.
Yeah, and I think with all the problems going on in South Africa cricket at the moment, it's a good way to start 2021 for them. Max, just a quick one. When it comes to Sri Lanka and South Africa, I'd never actually heard of Wiaan Mulder. Had you heard of Wiaan Mulder?
No.
I'm even saying that right.
No.
So this he is, from what I can see, is the South African Darren Stevens.
Oh.
So, and he's managed to make it into Test cricket. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I probably said his name wrong. But yeah, well done you, mate. Well done you.
All right, great. We'll take another quick break, and then we will be back with England.
Continuing the football bit.
So we left you there with Sri Lanka. We'll sort of stay with Sri Lanka for now. So the first up in our England-related section, the various aspects of England that are happening at the moment, England have landed in Sri Lanka to start their tour, which the first test match beginning on the 14th, I believe, of January. And Moeen Ali has tested positive for coronavirus on landing. So that's good, isn't it? The whole England squad being sprayed with disinfectant clearly didn't do the job on that one. He had been tested before flying and he was negative, as the whole team were. So, I mean, there's a chance it could be a false positive, like may well have happened with the South Africa debacle. But as a result, we've got the whole squad being retested today and stuck in their hotel rooms until the results come back, which are expected tomorrow. So by the time people listen to this, they'll probably know exactly what's going on. But hey, there's a couple of people a little worried maybe that we might end up with the tour being cancelled. I'm going to come out here and with all the authority that I have reassure people that I'm sure that's not going to happen. Firstly, it's just, you know, it's just Moeen Ali so far, and if it has spread to other people, England did bring 7 reserves with them, so even if there are like a little cluster of cases, I think they'll be able to deal with it. It's not like it was in South Africa where there were concerns about the bubble being compromised. This is sort of an internal problem, so I think it'll be all right. And they've all arrived now anyway, so they might as well carry on.
It might also be good for the aviation industry if Moeen Ali had coronavirus on that flight. Kind of says flying's all right, doesn't it? If no one else gets it,
that's exactly what it says, Ross. Good work.
Yeah.
My question, I've got a question on this, Max. I don't know if you've got any details. Say Moeen Ali is positive and he might have spread it to some England players. Did England strategically place players with different skill sets on different areas or different parts of the plane? And similarly, like on the bus and the coach and so on, did they make... Because you don't want, for instance, all of your spinners to have COVID when you're in Sri Lanka. You wouldn't want all of your batsmen to get it. So what I'm asking...
I think everyone was wearing masks and socially distanced on transport on the way. So the only issue they had was Wokes, was it, being quarantined as a potential close contact because he and Ali got a car to Heathrow together. So that's the only case where there's been a potential close contact.
That's not necessarily a question I expected you to have an answer to. So well done.
Very welcome.
It's interesting though. So I was reading the article, I think it was on the Guardian, was around that England have gone through all of the expense to charter a flight, get all this testing done, put up the hotels, etc., and yet they don't give Moeen Ali and Chris Wokes their own cab to the airport.
Maybe they wanted to share.
Tell them no, they're not children. They're about to spend three weeks together in Sri Lanka.
As far as they know, they're negative, right? Because they've tested before flying. So, you know, you need to get your test before you get to the airport, I guess. So, it's just one of those things. Whether it was, not traceable beforehand and is now, or we'll see. But fingers crossed, it'll all be all right. We will find out shortly. But even if there are a few more cases, I think it will be all right. They'll have contingency plans and. I'd say the worst case scenario is maybe the first test gets cancelled, but it's a 10-day quarantine period, so they should all be all right by the second test anyway. And then there's ODIs to follow, so I don't think they'll be wanting to miss out on the cricket.
Assuming that Moeen Ali was going to play in the first test, which is maybe a bit of an assumption, but he was there or thereabouts, who will now bowl his overs or be drafted in? Was he in for Don Bess or was he in with Don Bess? Is Joe Root now the man?
That'd be interesting. I think he probably would have played, bearing in mind how well he played in the last time England went to Sri Lanka. He had a good series and I think they were probably hoping that he would rekindle that form. So it will be interesting to see. I would expect we'd want double spin at least.
I would think as a minimum you want
And that doesn't include Joe Root.
As a minimum, you'd want a bowler who can spin the ball. Well, you'd want about two bowlers, one who can both spin the ball in opposite directions. That's a really bad way of explaining that.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is you want Jack Leach and someone else.
I think. It's probably going to be Leach and Bess, isn't it?
Yeah, I also think you want... This tour is all about setting England up to go to India, right? And beat India. Moeen Ali is an exceptional player of spin. So up against Ashwin, Jadeja, he might fare a little bit better in their heads and actually was going to probably be a part of that team. So I think this is quite a big blow to England's plans for the next kind of couple of months.
This is how crazy English people are sometimes. They think there's a chance that England are going to beat India and India.
It's going to be an absolute bloodbath.
Not you necessarily, but there are people who think England have got a chance. They don't have a chance.
Well, you never know. This could well see the way that Johnny Bairstow is actually a pretty good off spinner. So he's done the wicket keeping, he's done the batting, he's back in the side. He'll do anything for that England shirt. So perhaps off spin is calling.
I actually think he might bowl left arm wrist spin.
Right. So Moeen Ali, we managed to string Moeen Ali out for like 7 minutes there.
Yeah, we've done quite well there.
What else? We do take a reasonably contrary view. I mean, lots of people lots of people will try and pack as much stuff into the shortest amount of time as possible. Not us.
Nope. let it run. You never know what gems might be on Earth.
We want as little as possible content to be spread as long as possible throughout the show. Yeah.
Hey, was the would you reckon the taxi was a 6-seater or a 4-seater, guys? Or
do you reckon they were facing each other? You was one of those ones where they have that fold down seat.
What do you reckon journey times from Birmingham to Heathrow are like now that there's obviously less traffic? Because anyone who's been around
the M25, I'm gonna knock this one on the head. This has got out of hand.
Perhaps they could use a limo. Sit either end of the bit, have your cricket bags in the middle. That's a much better way of travelling for them.
That is actually a good point, see?
Get on the phone to the ECB, Ross. I think,
right, Max.
I think there might be a consultant job lined up for you.
you have the virtual floor.
Okay. Well, it's good. We've covered Moeen Ali and England's coronavirus test in excruciating detail. We'll move on to some slightly... light-hearted subjects, or perhaps something that's just a bit ridiculous. Apparently, James Anderson wasn't knighted this year in the New Year's Honours list because we are scared that he will get sledged by the Aussies in the Ashes. But before I get into how completely ridiculous that is, we should probably actually appreciate the government for once having some level of foresight, even if it's completely misplaced. Like, they've not been able to anticipate that they maybe need to shut schools a little earlier than, well, a day after they sent kids back to school, because there's, you know, some virus outside. But they were able to plan 11 months in advance for the possibility that England might be mentally degraded by the Aussies taking, well, you know, some nightly sledging heading James Anderson's way. Just what?
This is probably the strangest cricket news story that I have read all year.
Only in this country could it happen.
For the life of me, I don't understand. He denied it, I think. So he's not the... We can clear, if we believe his word, we can clear Jimmy from this...
Yeah, he said he'd not heard of it, but
travesty.
If it is, it's a bit strange.
Travesty of a statement. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't got a viewpoint. For once, I'm stumped.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important that you get a swing bowler as a knight of the realm. I think it's really important to have.
Well, I mean, aside from whether or not he's knighted, like some of the people who do get knighted, I'm not going to question whether or not James Anderson's deserving of one, because, you know, if you're a friend of someone, then you're in with a good shout. But like, just even the concept of it is just like it's more embarrassing now that we're worried about someone being made fun of for being a knight than to actually make them a knight. I don't think James Anderson could give a shit because he's been to Australia a million times and copped a whole load of flack from them. I'm sure he'll get over it. And also, the Aussies hate Stuart Broad so much that as long as he's there, I don't think they give a shit who else is there anyway. And no one cares about... he's a bowler anyway. Who sledges bowlers? That never ends well.
Yeah, case in point, Mitchell Johnson.
Right, yeah, so that's that covered. Anything else from the England camp, Max?
Yeah, well, so the one final thing. We've done one future series. Another future series that we mentioned is England heading to India after the Sri Lanka series. And if you want to catch that on TV, you will have to sign up for Disney Plus and pay for a subscription, because that's where it's going to be on TV.
What?
If you were wondering, Ross, why some maybe news outlets struggle to cover overseas cricket, this might give you a bit of an indication as to why. Star Sports, which is owned by Disney, has the rights to all of India's home tests, but usually they sell them on to people overseas. But this time, no one, I think no one basically would pay what they were asking for. So I think Sky are sulking a bit because they had a contract with Star Sports that ended a couple of years ago.
You'd say they've been frozen out.
Frozen out.
Disney pun, never mind.
Jesus. Right, it was, I thought that's what you were going for. It was, yeah, tenuous.
Do you want me to edit that out?
Yeah, if you could.
keep that straight in.
So Star Sports have decided to hang on to the rights, and they're going to stream it on their Hotstar platform. So that's Star Sports being a subsidiary of Disney. It's owned by Disney, and Disney will be making it available in the UK, the Hotstar content, from the eve of the test series. Did you also know Disney actually own ESPN Crick Info?
I did know that. What I really appreciate, Max, is your subverted way of reintroducing cricket business, which I'm really happy to see.
There's a bit more on that, because aside from the business, the business point of view of whether it's a good idea to have cricket on like these streaming sites, I don't really know. I don't know what the Venn diagram of Aristocats lovers looks like compared to cricket fans. But I mean, I like both, so maybe it could work.
How much is it? It's about £12 a month. Sign up for it the day before. Watch loads of films. Watch all the Disney films in 2 months, and
got your money's worth.
Yeah,
smash the Mandalorian. £24,
and you've got all the Disney content you want, and a test series. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Well, my girlfriend's actually just bought a Disney Plus membership, so she's not going to be too happy to know that in a couple of months that's being monopolised to watch cricket. But I mean, it is a bit of a pain for fans, because it doesn't really help cricket get to a wider audience, does it, by smacking it over a load of different platforms.
I agree with that one, Max, but there's also a bit here where actually it could inspire the next generation of cricketers, couldn't it? Really? Lots of kids accidentally watching.
Yeah,
cricket.
I want to watch Mulan. Oh, what's this?
Yeah. Oh. What,
did
what
you
these
say
characters?
The Mumbai test?
That's good. Yeah, maybe we could get some rogue algorithms going on.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Anderson, doesn't matter about him being knighted. He becomes a Bollywood film star.
Brett Lee and James Anderson, the next star.
It's annoying. It's annoying, basically.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So it could get worse, though, right? So we got the Sri Lankans on Sky. Yeah. India's on Disney. And then there's the Ashes later in the year, which are apparently being now hotly contested by BT, who have currently got the Australian cricket, and Amazon, who are trying to get their teeth stuck into another sporting venture. So they're not content with streaming Premier League games that are so delayed that the BBC Sport app gets the goal updates before the goal happens. They're going in for that. They've got rights to New Zealand cricket in India for the next 5 years, which is a bit
hot property. It's a bit niche, but it is probably. I mean, I imagine New Zealand will get smashed in India, but I am interested to see what will happen.
But that's their first foray into the Indian cricket market, so that'll be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with the IPL on Amazon.
I wouldn't hate that
in the not too distant future.
I watch it on Sky Go on my laptop.
Yeah,
that was annoying.
The one thing actually that I was thinking about. The streaming sites taking some of the cricket stuff is that it is quite a good thing, especially sort of the longer formats, to just like have on a tablet with you while you're doing other stuff. And that's a lot easier to do with things like Amazon and Disney, and can't wait for Netflix to get involved too.
I mean, that fundamentally is the problem with cricket, isn't it? It's you need to know too much about cricket to watch it casually, so you can never just have the cricket. Like with football, it's been quite a football heavy episode, this, hasn't it? But with football, you can put the football on the TV, and people who don't really like or know that much about football can still play along, can't they? You've got to kick the thing in the net. With cricket, with test cricket, that's not an option. You can't casually have the Test cricket on. If I want to put the Test cricket on in my house, I have to be the only one, or I have to watch it on my laptop.
Or answer a lot of questions.
So I'm already at that stage anyway, and it's not. I'll tell you, it's not that much of a big deal. Let other people can have the TV.
I'd quite like to have a selection of test matches available on demand just to put on. If I wake up, haven't seen the latest test match or the day's cricket between Australia and India, I'd love to have that on.
Maybe that's... I think Sky might already do that for some of their stuff. Anyway, we've talked aimlessly about English cricket TV rights, the English cricket TV rights situation. Now, yes.
So if you need our top-level consultancy, please get in touch.
We haven't been able to bring anything as genius as the limo to the debate. We spoke to Jared Kimber a few weeks ago, and he said they should package Test cricket as one product to sell it to whoever, or have cricket TV like they have for most American sports. You could buy like the NFL package or the Major League Baseball package, and you pay the organization directly. Then you can stream it on your thing. I mean, that would be the ideal.
Yeah, but I mean, that works well for American sport because obviously it's one country, isn't it? You struggle a bit when you've got the three big names in cricket trying to take their slice of the pie.
Yeah, but that's their fault. Like they'd still make all the money that they're currently making and probably more by packaging it properly, like a real sport. But they won't do that. Anyway, nope. That's what they should do. That's the actual insight. There's one other thing. There's one other thing, Max, and it sounded like you were wrapping up, so I'm going to jump in. Joe Root confirmed that Butler will wicketkeep for Sri Lanka. Should we give a 20-second hot take on that each and then wrap up the show, starting with Max?
Why?
Well, why are we starting with you? Because I have to start with someone, don't I?
Why?
Why
are we not making our best wicketkeeper keep wicket in Sri Lanka like he did last time and did really well?
I don't know. I mean, this is what the argument I don't get. So we're happy to bring Bairstow back because he plays spin well, but we're not happy to give our best wicketkeeper the wicketkeeping gloves because there's another wicketkeeper there already.
Well, let's leave him on that conundrum and we'll come back next week with with a preview of England versus Sri Lanka.
Yeah, it'll be loads of England stuff. Obviously, we'll be talking about India... the Australia Test 3 and maybe a bit of Test 4 as well, but we'll be getting our teeth into who are they playing? Sri Lanka.
the soon to be cancelled tour of Sri Lanka.
Yeah. There's a lot of cricket on at the moment. I like it.
It is good. Have you got any messages? Would anyone like to give any messages to our listeners, Max, Ross?
Follow us at the Cricket Pod. See you later.
Bye.